We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We have a note here. We continued our study in Psalm 119. I should have said a while back. Amen. It seems like forever. The Lord was certainly blessing. We continue our study in Psalm 119, the Hebrew alphabet Nun, okay, by observing the lamp of the Word of God. And we looked here about a month back here as we looked at verses 105 through 112. The psalmist points out that the Word of God, three bullet points there, guides God's children. The Word of God guards God's children. And the Word of God gladdens God's children. I love what it says there in verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. You know, when you're down, when you're discouraged, when things are against you, when nobody likes you, you can still go to the Word of God. You can still remember that I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Amen. You can still remember that He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank God for the Word of God. Here we see the psalmist is bothered in spirit and beset in life by evil doers. And I like this. He speaks to them about God, and he speaks to God about them. And I think that's the plan that God gave to us when it concerns evildoers. If we just bemoan evildoers but never tell them about a God who's willing to forgive them and change their life, then all we're doing is just complaining. Amen. We think that Washington is going to be the answer. I've got bad news for you tonight. Washington is not going to be the answer. The church house is going to be the answer. Christians that are the church going out telling others about the Savior. Amen. And so he speaks to them about God, but he also speaks to God about them. So two Roman numerals tonight and some subpoints here. First of all, we see the psalmist's trust in verses 113 through 117. The first thing I want you to see, number one there, is the vacillating. That's a big word. V-A-C-I-L-L-A-T-I-N-G. The vacillating. He says there in verse number 113, I hate vain thoughts. That word vain there, vain thoughts, it's the Hebrew word, seafe. It means divided in mind. And I thought right away, as I was preparing this, I thought right away if there was one time where we could look in the Bible in the Old Testament and say they were divided in mind, it would be when Elijah came against the prophets of Baal in Carmel, Mount Carmel. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, yea. If Baal be God, then fine. And then it reminds me of the passage in the New Testament there. If you'll hold your place in Psalm 119, and let's go to James chapter 1. We spent 48 lessons in James. And James chapter 1 was a long time ago, but very appropriate for this vacillating, the psalmist's trust here. He didn't want to vacillate from God. He just didn't want to do it. And it says there in James chapter 1, verse 6, well, really, if you go back to verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. May I just say this as your pastor? I believe the thing I pray for most is wisdom. I do. I pray for wisdom most. I'll pray for it when you're going to have surgery and I'm coming to pray with you. I will pray that God will give the doctors wisdom. When people come into my office and their home is flying apart and they don't know what to do, I'll say, God, please give us wisdom. Wisdom. Why? Because the promise is such, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth. Now, he's not mad when we ask for wisdom. Amen. Then he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I believe yesterday was the 40th anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald there on Lake Superior. What was that? It was literally hurricane force winds in the middle of Lake Superior. That man that wavereth, I don't know if God can. I just want to tell you, God can. Now there are times I don't know if He will, but I know He can. Amen. And so he says there, he's like a sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And then he goes on to say, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so the psalmist was saying here, I don't want to be divided in mind. And he says there back in Psalm 119, as a matter of fact, he said, I not only don't want to be divided in mind, but I hate vain thoughts. We live in a day where you're not supposed to use that word hate. But there are some things that we're still supposed to hate. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. Psalm 97:10 tells us. And so he says here, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. So, number one, the vacillating there. Number two, the victory. The victory. What's the victory? Well, it says there in Psalm 119, 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. If you'll just think about that verse a little bit, a hiding place acknowledges that perhaps there are some time before the enemy is upon you that you can go to the hiding place. Many of you may have read Corey Tim Boom's book, The Hiding Place. But a shield is for when the enemy is right upon you. Amen? And he says here that not only is God his hiding place that he can run to, but Brother Hauser, he's also his shield for when the enemy comes. I'm so thankful that God is a hiding place for us. And because we have the hiding place, because we have the shield, the New Testament tells us, who is he that overcometh but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So the victory. And then we see the virtue. The virtue in verses 15 through 1, or 115 through 117. Here, the psalmist trusts. He's virtuous because he acknowledged his need for three things in this text here. We see, first of all, separation. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. If you got saved later in life, like I did, like many of you did, I will say this, Brother Becker, it didn't take long for our old friends to get the message that we were different. It didn't take long. Brother Leonard, I don't remember having to stand up amongst all my old friends and say, I'm a born-again Christian now. I love God. And it didn't take long. It was pretty obvious that when I said, I want to live for God, that they said, see you later. I'm not interested in that. I wish we could reverse that a little bit. If as Christians that we would understand that we're to be separate from evil. Not to separate ourselves from the world, but to be separate from evil. Separation is not isolation, it's contact without contamination. And so he says here, depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. If you'll keep the commandments of God, then the evildoers will depart. Separation. Well, then we see, of course, the victory, the virtue, separation, but also the virtue because of the Scriptures. Uphold me according to what? Thy Word, that I may live. and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Boy, that back half of that verse is tremendous. We shouldn't be ashamed of God. We'll talk about everything, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk about the weather. We'll talk about politics till we're blue in the face. In this part of the country, forgive me, Sister Shannon, we'll even talk about the Tigers. But do we talk about God? Do we talk about how He saved us? Do we talk to others about how He wants to save them? He said, any man be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him before my Father. You pray for me, Lord willing, this week. I want to preach a message entitled, Thou Hast There, Thou Hast That Is Thine, out of Matthew 25. A life that's wasted, gone, all gone. The man with one talent gave it back to God. So, the Scriptures, importance of the Scriptures. But then also, the virtue acknowledged his need for separation, acknowledged his need for the Scriptures, acknowledged his need for support. He says there in 1:17, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. He said, God, I need you. I need you. I wonder when the last time that we said that is. I mean, just really said those words, God, I need you. You say, well, if you pray, you tell Him that. I understand that. It's kind of like the words, I love you. I think God likes to hear, I love you. And I think I have Scripture on that. I believe we're made in the image of God. And I'm sure you like to hear from blessed, precious ones in your life, I love you. Well, when's the last time you said, God, I need you. You're my support. You hold me up. You know, the branch without the vine withers. We need the vine. Amen. Virtue. He acknowledges need for separation, the Scriptures and support. So the psalmist trusts, first of all. Of course, he trusted God and God's Word. But then we see the psalmist's trembling. We see the psalmist's trembling in verses 118 through 120. Thou hast trodden down all them that err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. He trembled, first of all, because of God's justice. God's justice in His dealing with two groups here. First of all, His dealing with the wayward. That word, those two words, trodden down, it's the Hebrew word salah, and it means to hang up. I think in our modern vernacular, it's like what Paul said. He said, lest when I have preached to the others, I myself could be a castaway. Literally, put up on the shelf. I'll tell you, I tremble the fact that God could do that if He wanted to. He could, Brother Jeff, He could put me on the shelf. He could put me on the shelf. I had a dear conversation yesterday and we were talking, and I said one of the most awe-inspiring thoughts is that everything I say from this pulpit, I will give an account for before God. I'll give an account for. I'll tell you what, it makes you tremble when you think of the wayward. That the fact that if we set at naught God's Word, God can set us at naught. Never use us again. Never bless us again. He doesn't have to, amen? He doesn't have to. So His justice with the wayward. And then His justice with the wicked. Psalm 119, 119. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. It just puts them away. And by the way, that's the past tense there. in both of those. Thou hast trodden down. Thou puttest away. It's already in the mind of God a done deal. God's justice. And then also, secondly, God's judgment. 120. My flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. I think in this day and age we live, that many a church has taken the fear of God out of their church. The fear of the Lord. And we say it's a reverence and it's a respect. And I understand that in some ways. It certainly is. As a father, I think us fathers could understand the fear that we want to have in our children. The healthy fear, amen. But with God, so much more than that. Brother Bill, he spake and it was. Everyone on this earth right now is borrowing his oxygen. I mentioned it coming back from California as I was flying from Sacramento to Nevada, and I went over the Sierra Nevadas, and I was like a child looking at that. Everyone else was reading and doing, and I was just leaning forward like this, looking out the window. He spake that into existence. Well, I fear His judgment. Fear His judgment. I don't want His judgment on my life. Either way, I'm glad He gave me the privilege of self-judgment. If any man judge himself, he should not be judged. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, His judgment causes us to tremble. But thank God there's both here. There's trusting and there's trembling before God. Father, thank You for Your goodness to us and Your blessings. Thank You for Your Word that's